2 Timothy chapter 1. This is just a little thought that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago. I was preaching in North Carolina, and I don't know if y'all have noticed, but it's like really getting crazy out there. Anybody notice that? Amen. Matter of fact, I could even tell today. It was influencing a little bit this morning when we all got together to tag doors, just of the current situation, and it's going to influence us. It's current things, and we don't want those things to cloud us. Amen. And I want to say on the outset, I don't know if it was in. I had to run back out of the truck and get something earlier, but I left my chewing tobacco out there, so I didn't want it to get hot. I'm just kidding. Amen. But it's not my chewing tobacco; it's Miss Chloe's. But anyways. We need some men to sign up for security, right? And some of that, most of that's at night. And you could, if you're willing, even if you got to work during the day, you're going to get to do a lot of sleeping. Amen. There'll be, I think, two at a time. Is that right? So there'll be two at a time. So most of the time, we just need two bodies out there. Amen. So stuff don't get up and walk off. You say, does that really happen? Last year, somebody stole one of Brother Kevin's security cameras off the, two of them, off the tent. Like walked up to it, pulled it off, and took it. So we just people being out there deters that, okay? And you never know what kind of fun stuff you're going to get into. So if you want to get in on that, Brother John has the link to the website. We really do need help with that, okay? And I want to say this, it seems like there's an expectation this year that has just not been here. I know the first year, I had never really been in the area before. I think the first time I was in the area was with y'all years ago.
Yeah.
But I had preached for Brother Hall one Sunday years ago. But and then I came the Jubilee of 2018?
16.
Okay, yeah, so it's... And 18, so I've not been around the area much, and the four churches brought us up, and it was still kind of like, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? And then we went 5 weeks and eight churches, and man, it was just great, and so much excitement. And the last year, it seemed like there was some apprehension. Some new folks came on, and that same apprehension, they didn't really know us, didn't know how we really did things, and I feel like God did a lot in the churches last year as well. There was a lot done in the churches. But this year just seems different. It just seems like, my goodness, the Lord is about to do something huge. And for those of you who don't know, we've already had one young man get saved, a 17-year-old young man named Travion. And he got saved yesterday. And we have had amazing divine appointments, very little like negative. And I would say, Brother Campbell just texted me, Brother Aaron Campbell, they have church on Thursday night, and they have just absolutely killed it this afternoon, Miss Sarah. I sent you the maps. They colored them in. But God is just helping us get so much done. And looks like tomorrow we're going to be able to already, after 3 days, we're going to be able to move, or actually 2.5 days because of the rain, we're going to actually be able to move outside of our target area and start moving into other areas. And Brother Samuel was able to get 3 of the 5 post offices taken care of today for the mail-outs. They're going to be going out this Saturday. Those mail-outs will be going out on Shabbat. Amen. And, brother, it's amazing what God's doing there. They were already able to get over 15,000 of them registered into the postal service, and the rest of them will get done tomorrow. So God is just working and moving, and be a part of it. Okay? Be a part of it. And you say, well, I can't come out and come go door knocking. Be at the tent every night. You ain't got nothing better to do. You ain't got nothing better to do. Be at the tent every night. We need you to be there. I always say that the Christian life's kind of like a toolbox. You'll get out of it what you put in it. If I need a 7/16 wrench, I've got to put one in my toolbox before I can go get it. Amen. And if you want something out of Christianity, you're going to have to put into it what you want out of it. Amen. And it's not a genie in the bottle, rub the genie, get poof, comes out, 3 wishes. That's not Christianity. Amen. And I looked around the night, and it's Wednesday night, and I know the virus has taken a toll on many churches and people scared to come back. They ain't scared to go everywhere else, but they're scared to come to church. And if you're watching online, that was for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be here all week for 2 weeks. Amen. But everybody's scared to death to come to church. They go everywhere else. But it was encouraging to me. The dear sister here got saved at the missions meeting this year. And then Miss Sierra got saved at the first year tent. And Brother Cole back there running the sound got saved. And several others that are here that have gotten saved during the tent meetings. And that blesses my heart. That's fruit that remains. I count that as fruit that remains. And I bless his name. So I want to give you all this thought, and then I'm going to go try to find the taco truck before it closes down, all right? You say, didn't Miss Stephanie feed you? Yeah, but I am a growing boy. I looked at my counter before we got off the bus. I think I told him that I'd already burned 2,900 calories today. You say, preacher, how do you stay so skinny? It's called evangelism. You say, why are all these other evangelists fat? Because they're anyways. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's Word. Amen. It's because they ain't going out door to door. Go door to door. You'll burn calories. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right. Y'all still love me, don't you? Man, I'd be absolutely boring if I didn't say everything that was on my mind. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. Brother Chris Simpson has a message he's been preaching for about 12 years called Mercy in the Middle, and he goes through the Bible showing how many times mercy's right in the middle of things. I don't have time to preach that. Leave me alone, Brother John. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. You can catch that, tears. That I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Look, this is our text verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear Lord. I thank you for all you've done for us today. Thank you for strength today, dear God, to do what we've done. Thank you for power today through the Lord that we've seen you manifest yourself and keep us safe. Even as we speak right now, as we pray, Lord, there's people out there getting the gospel out on your behalf, and we bless your name for that. We pray that these seeds would find good soil, and they would bring forth much fruit, and fruit that would remain. Thank you for the fruit that remains in this place right now tonight. Thank you, dear God, for this time of getting together and going into this area with the gospel. I pray that you touch the other churches as they meet tonight. I pray that you'd send forth laborers in your harvest. I pray, dear Father, that you for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray that you touch Brother Locker tonight, dear God. He needs a touch from God. Touch my grandmother. Thank you for allowing her to move into therapy today. I pray, dear God, that you touch others in our family that are lost and that are sick and they need a touch from you. Lord, we need you tonight. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Might be seated. As I was mentioning, if you've watched the news or been on Facebook any amount of time, it is pretty depressing if you watch much of that. Can I get an amen right there? If you allow it, you'll fill your mind and you'll think, man, the sky's falling and nothing's ever going to be good again and nothing good could ever happen and there's no way that we could get out of this. And that's exactly how the devil wants us to think tonight. Amen? And let me say this. This is not the first time Christians have been in a crumbling society. This is not the first time that Christians have faced persecution. Amen? And if you think getting banned from Facebook Facebook. And listen, I want to keep our liberty, and we ought to fight for that. Can I get an amen? But what our Christian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan are facing tonight is a little bit more real than getting a mad face on Facebook. Somebody say amen right there. But we understand tonight that we're living on in a house of cards. We understand that things around us are changing swiftly. I am but 33 years old. I am not an old man. Say amen right there. I am not an old man. But Miss Stephanie, I'll tell you this. A lot's changed in my 33 years. Amen. I was born in the Reagan administration. And if I can say everything's changed, amen, since the 80s. Amen. And not for the better. If you think society's getting better, you need to take your head out of the sand and quit watching CNN. Amen. Society's not getting better. Life in our America is not going to continue to be the same. And that could cause a lot of fear. Can I get an amen right there? And that is what the devil, that is what the media, that is what science so-called, that's what everything that's being pushed on us is trying to create is fear, because fear is the greatest tool to introduce tyranny. Fear is the greatest tool to control people. And let me say that saved people are not to live in fear. Amen. This verse I quote quite often, and I don't live in a state of fear. I'm a perpetual optimist. Amen. I can't help it. I want to just wide open, and sometimes things are just bad, and I don't even want to notice it. I didn't even realize how bad the area we were in was today. I mean, I've been going, I got back on the bus, and I told Brother Michael and Miss Sarah, I said, man, it's real bad around here, because they literally have like bank glass locked bulletproof stuff in the convenience store right there where we've been knocking on doors. And they said, well, hadn't you been looking at where we've been the past 3 days? Amen. I just don't see it, Brother Eric. I'm just zoned in, and I'm thankful for that. God can give you that grace in your life. I'm nothing special. I'm blessed just like you are. But tonight, I want to deal with this spirit of fear. I want to deal on this thought, the fundamentals of fear. Amen. And maybe you're not facing these things. Maybe you're completely inoculated to all that's going on. You don't see anything bad on Facebook. You just see Candy Crush, and that's it. Amen. Maybe you don't ever listen to the news, and nothing bad's happening in your life. And please sign me up. Amen. Right there. Amen. Tell me what essential oil Miss Sarah has given you. Amen. What potion she's giving you. Say amen right there. I'm just picking Miss Sarah. But tonight I want to deal with this thought. Just preaching to home folks tonight, preaching to you in my heart. I want to preach on the fundamentals of fear. The first thing we have to know about fear here in this text is the outline of fear. Timothy, he's in tears. His hero, if you don't know anything about 2 Timothy, his hero is literally in bonds. He is writing this in chains. He's writing this in prison. And he wasn't in an American prison with a TV and a workout room. 3 square meals a day. Paul, who was an old man at the time, who was, if you go and read 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, you'll find out he was a very battered and beaten down old man. He was not in good health. No telling the kind of living conditions he was in. No telling. I know there was a time in Rome he had his own house, but by this time, he's about to have his head chopped off, and he is not living high on the hog right now. I shouldn't say that about a Jewish preacher, but anyways, he's not living high on the hog right there. He is struggling. There's things going on that would not be beneficial to our health. Can I get an amen right there? And there is fear in Timothy. Brother Bagwell, who is my mentor, Brother Bagwell always said, he always called him Timid Timothy, and he always called Titus the bulldog. Titus was the one who was like a bull in a china shop, wasn't scared of nothing. He could send him into the worst church, and he would just take care of all of it. But Brother Eric, Timothy was a timid man. He was bashful. He was a little backwards and a little fearful, and there is no reason that one, there is no doubt that Paul did this on purpose through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Before he goes into anything else in this book of 2 Timothy, once he gets through his salutations and tells him how much he loves him, he tells him, he starts immediately dealing with fear. Why is that? Well, there's an outline here of what he was fearing. He was fearful of political enemies. Who was it that was about to cut Paul's head off? It was the Romans. It was the Republic of Rome. It was the Roman government, the political enemy of the day, of the gospel. And listen, the gospel has never been without political enemies. We have got to enjoy something the last 240-something years in America that nobody else has ever gotten to enjoy, and that is pure religious liberty. Amen? And so don't give me nothing about Romans 13 when I get a little upset and won't defend it, because we still got the ability and the right to defend it where we're at. Amen? We don't live in Afghanistan. The first thing I thought when I got off the bus Monday was, it's a rough area. It's a tough area. I mean, I'm a honky. I'm standing out pretty bad, amen, and now I'm standing there, and Brother Sam, I'm thinking, thank God I'm not in Afghanistan. They may not like what I'm doing. They may try to run me off, but I've done decided if somebody tells me I'm not supposed to be doing what I'm doing, I won't tell them I'm not in Afghanistan. And if you believe in freedom, you shouldn't care what I do. You should be thankful that we have the right to do what we're doing still today. The political enemies were making Timothy fearful. The outline of fear is not only political enemies, but powerful enemies. You say, preacher, where's that? The devil. Satan was causing fear. The spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I say that? Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the fallen angels. Amen. Now, I don't believe the devil's omnipresent. Somebody say hallelujah right there. Matter of fact, I believe that where the devil's at is where he was at in the book of Job. He is up in front of God accusing the brethren. By the way, if you're bringing up the brethren's past, you are never more like the devil than when you're bringing up the brethren's past. Amen. The devil, that's his job, that's where he stays. He is in front of God, accusing the brethren, pointing out our faults and our failures. But I'm glad, I believe that God knows that verse, or that song, page 318 in the church hymnal. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. Hallelujah. I'm kind of surprised that's in the Church of God hymnal. Amen. Anyways. But don't stand up in a good testimony in service and say, the devil's been on my back all week. No, he hadn't. Ain't nobody in this room, me included, or watching live on Facebook, probably ever done enough for the Lord for the devil to even know where we live. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have powers. That doesn't mean he don't have little devils. That doesn't mean he doesn't have fallen angels that know our address, that know where we live, that know that are battling and fighting. I believe that every one of us has got an angel. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. And we've got protection. We've got guardianship. And we know that according to Jude, and we know according to other places in the Bible, the book of Daniel, that the angels are battling. The heavenly angels and the satanic angels, they are battling. I believe there's a battle going on right now that if God allowed us to see it, we would lose our ever loving mind. But aren't you glad that God doesn't allow us to see it? He was fearful. He was fearful because of political enemies, because of powerful enemies, but he was fearful because of pious enemies. Now, why did Paul, I understand the Romans were the ones that are going to execute Paul, but why was Paul ever taken to Rome for execution? Well, he was taken to Rome for execution because of the Jewish uprising against Christianity. The Apostle Paul had more religious people against him than possibly anybody else in history. So here's, and here's Timothy. Paul is calling him his son. This is a young man that was literally trained in persecution and in doctrine and in preaching right under the feet of the Apostle Paul. Could you imagine that being your Bible college degree? But with that great benefit comes great responsibility, and they're about to cut his mentor's head off. And now here's Timothy, and he's thinking the same enemies, those pious enemies that were after Paul, now they're going to be after me. Those pious enemies, hey, Brother Kevin, that were after his mentor, they're going to be after him. The powerful enemies, once he's gone, they're going to look for somebody else to attack. Hey, those political enemies, they're going to come after him. By now, Nero's done burnt down Rome. By now, they're blaming it on the Christians. It's a big head hunt. Hey, there was a fear in the heart of Timothy. There's an outline of fear. But number two, there's an origin of fear. Look at our verse 7. And it's simple. If you come for a deep thought, you better wish Brother John was preaching. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, Brother Kevin, I'm not a very smart man. We all know that. But this is the origin of fear. If God did not give us the spirit of fear, there's only one other place it could have come from.
Yes, sir.
Y'all help me. Where did the spirit of fear come from? Mm-hmm. Satan.
Right.
If you're living in fear, if you're scrolling and you're starting to get fearful and anxious, if you're watching something and you begin to get fearful and anxious, that is not God. God does not give the believer fear. Listen, I understand. Me and my wife literally had this discussion last night. There is a holy, healthy, reverential fear of an almighty God. Not where I stand like this in front of God, but I stand like this in front of God. An awe of God. A reverence of God. That just like I love my father and I stood in awe of my daddy and I loved him. That's even more so. That's the fear. That's the reverence. All we are to have for God. But I'm going to tell you, any fear in your life different than that, where you're trembling, you're anxious, your mind is in turmoil all the time, that is not from God. That is from the devil. And God never designed for a believer to live in that spirit. It doesn't come from God. Amen. And you need, I'm getting ahead of myself, but here we go. I'll catch this rabbit. If you're there, you need to track down the source that's causing that the debt. Let me say this. You need to track down the source that the devil's using in your life that implants that fear in your life, that spirit of fear. Hey, you know, did you know this? The only place that the devil has in your life is the one you give him. That's what the Bible teaches.
That's it.
Give no place to the devil. If he's got a place in your mind, you've given it to him. If he's got a place in our ears, we've given it to him. If he's got a place in our mouth, we've given it to him. If he's got a place in our attitude, we've given it to him. Somebody say amen, or I'm going to keep preaching it. Hey, if he's got a place in our tongue, or where we're using that tongue wrongly, we've given it to him. So track down the source that the devil's using to get a place in your life of fear and anxiety and anxiousness, and snuff it out tonight. You say, well, preacher, it's Facebook. Cut it off. You say, preacher, it's television. Get rid of it. You say, preacher, it's talk radio. Don't listen to it. Now listen here, I think all of it's gotten pretty smutty myself. But I used to be a big Ben Shapiro fan. I mean, I listened to him every day. Y'all with me? And I won't subscribe to him. I won't tell anybody to listen to him now because his mouth got so bad. And I don't want to listen to nobody's smutty mouth. Amen. Amen. God delivered me from that. I ain't going to put it back in my brain. I'm not going to give a place to the devil. But I'm not. That's not what I'm preaching on. Y'all leave me alone, Brother Allen. That's not the part I'm preaching on. I quit listening to country and rap and rock for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because of the cussing in it, and I'm not going to go listen to some guy in a kippa cuss in my ear either. Because what goes in here goes down here, and what goes down here will eventually come out right there. I can't stand it when somebody says, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. Ever since I quit listening to country music, rap music, rock music, and yes, I used to listen to rap music. Miss Sarah, ever since I quit listening to all that mess and quit watching all that mess on TV, I didn't have to quit cussing. It was gone. I got all that out of my ear, and it quit going into my heart, and it quit coming out my mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But besides the filthy mouth, even when it was good stuff, I would just get negative and critical and consumed and fearful and anxious. And last September, even before all that mess, all that Tommy rot, I just cut it off. And you know what I did? We live in a day where you can listen to a different Bible message from you can listen to a Bible message from some of the greatest men that's ever donned shoe leather. Living in our day, you can listen to a different Bible message multiple every day and never listen to the same message twice. Go to Bible Baptist Church, Rossville, Georgia, and subscribe to their podcast. Go to Victory Baptist in Milton, Florida, and subscribe to Brother Tim Flores' podcast. Go over there and get Chris Simpson, Walter's Grove, subscribe to his podcast. On and on. I mean, I'm telling you, archives of gospel, Bible, verse-by-verse preaching. Cut the nonsense off and the worldly stuff off and put something else in there. And I promise, I used to work out and listen to that talk radio every day. And man, I'd be plumb mad and angry and disappointed and discouraged and always chasing some rabbit thinking, man, and it was coming out in my preaching, and I was so aggravated about it. And when I cut it off, I said, I'm going to start listening to a Bible message every day. And you know what it did? It's changed me. It's helped my attitude. It's helped my outlook. Hey, I don't want to live in a box, but I don't want to live in fear either.
Amen.
Man, I got to move on. The Lord didn't give you that spirit. So it's only come from one other place. The devil.
All right, good.
I see an outline of fear. I see an origin of fear. But in this fundamentals of fear, I see the oppression of fear. Look at the title that God gave it through the pen of the Apostle Paul. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now let's look at this logically. What God has told us to be filled with the spirit. That is the big S. That is a capital S. That's the Spirit of God, Brother David. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And listen, I'm not always filled with the Spirit. You know why? Because self gets in the way most of the time. It ain't cigarettes. It ain't Copenhagen. It ain't country music no more. It ain't none of that. Self. It's me. But I say, if there's ever a second of the day that I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, that second, that minute, that hour, that day, that week, that month, that I'm not filled, I'm not in the will of God.
Wow. How about that?
I'm not being sensational, Brother John. But if Ephesians 5, Paul said, be not drunk with wine, where does it say, but be filled with the Spirit? That is not a suggestion. That is a command from Holy Writ through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Samuel, 2 Samuel, excuse me, Brother 2 Samuel. He's got to be 2 Samuel because Samuel frees 1 Samuel. Amen? So he's 2 Samuel. Brother Samuel, if I miss the commandment of God, I cannot be in His will. Is everybody with me? So if I'm not living the Spirit-filled life, I don't care if I'm up preaching. I don't care if I'm filling all my dates. I don't care if I'm singing and preaching every night of my life. If I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't care if I'm running a bus. I don't care if I'm pastoring a church, planting churches on the mission field. I don't care, singing in the choir, you fill in the blank. If I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not in the will of God. So from the get-go, we find out right here, this oppression, the reason you're being oppressed, number one is because you can't be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with the spirit of fear. There's not room for both. Now, Brother Ballou would tell us that being filled with the Holy Ghost is not us getting more of God, but God getting more of you. That's what Brother Blue taught us.
Right.
Amen. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not sensational. So how do I get filled with the Holy Ghost? Get filled with His Word.
Amen.
Get filled with His Word and submit your life to Him. It's not some you got to lay on the altar for 3 hours and a sheet's got to come down from heaven telling you you're filled. That, no.
Amen.
That's mystical. That's mysticism. And that's what's messed a lot of church people up. They think being filled with the Holy Ghost is unattainable.
Yeah.
It's not unattainable. Just surrender your life to God. Get in the book and you'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll live filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to walk in the Spirit daily. You need to be led by the Spirit. You need to pray in the Spirit. And if you're a preacher, Peter says we can preach with the Spirit. But you can't do any of those things until you're filled with the Spirit. And I cannot be filled with the Spirit of God if I'm filled with the spirit of fear. Now the idea of being filled with the Spirit is that we're controlled by the Spirit of God. Would y'all agree with that? So if being filled with this is the positive of this. If being filled with the Spirit means that we're controlled by the Spirit of God, what if we're not filled with the Spirit and we're filled with the spirit of fear? A little s. What does that mean we're being controlled by? Fear. Everything in our... When we succumb to this spirit of fear, every decision, every choice, every reaction, every action, everything we do in life is controlled by the spirit of fear. Amen. And tonight, I'm seeing a lot of good Baptist people react out of fear. Amen. You say, now, preacher, you're a prepper. Yeah, and so was Noah. Amen. I learned it from Noah. Amen. Noah was a prepper, and I'm a prepper too. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. We're going to talk to Brother Wheeler and get him to join, add that verse. Amen. To John was a Baptist. But y'all hear me tonight. We can be sensible and be reasonable without being fearful. We can prepare for things. You are to. That's a biblical principle. The Bible teaches me that I'm to have things to pass down to my children. That's what the Bible teaches. An inheritance for my family. Not just a spiritual inheritance, a physical inheritance. Amen. We live, hey, but there's a difference in being biblical and being careful and being prepared for whatever may come. And 40, 50, 60 years ago, that's how everybody lived. Because we didn't know if we were going to have green beans, so we canned them. We didn't know if we were going to have toilet paper, so we stored it. Somebody say amen. But you hear me tonight, there's a difference in just living life and prepared and living fearful and wanting to go live in a bunker somewhere and not fulfilling the call of God on our life. Amen. What are you being controlled by tonight? What is it? And I don't know why I'm preaching this, Brother John. I probably ruined the service, but this is where God brought me. Where are you oppressed tonight by this fear? Are you oppressed by the society? Amen. Why do you think, and whether you, well, no matter what you, where you stand on what and when and where, but why do you think everybody's lining up to get something free jabbed in their arm that's not even been approved or tested or anything? And whether you're with it or not, I'm not saying I wouldn't tell you where I stand on it. Okay, I will say that I was anti-vax before it was cool, but I'll leave it at that. All right, but you hear me out. The reason they're doing it is out of fear. It's the spirit of Antichrist already at work in this present day. Brother David, because there's coming a day. The shot's not the mark of the beast. You know how I know that? Look to your left. Look to your right. Look ahead of you. Look behind you. We're still here. It ain't the mark of the beast. Amen. But it sure is the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist sure is using that to get things ready. And they're going to... You say, how's the whole world going to take a mark? Fear. Fear. Tonight, I see the outline. I see the origin. I see the oppression. But I see the option to fear tonight. Brother Blue was here. He'd say, this is a Holy Ghost conjunction. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but... That's exactly what he would say. But there's a Holy Ghost conjunction, Brother Elijah, in the middle of this verse. And everything about the oppression, everything about the origin, everything about the outline, guess what? You don't have to live there. I don't have to live there. I don't have to be consumed by that spirit of fear. There's another option in the verse. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but what has He given us? He's given us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen. God's given us a spirit of passion to love people. Amen. I made some people mad the other day. I know y'all are surprised. I made a post about how we don't need to hate those Muslim people over there. Do I like the way they live, Brother Kevin? No. Do I like how they treat women? No. I don't even like how they treat animals. I don't like anything about the culture. Can I just be honest? But look up here at me. I love those dear people. I love them. And they're doing wicked stuff. But they're not camel jockeys. They're not rug riders. They're not diaper heads. Amen! If you want to get real serious about it, they got half the blood of Abraham running through their veins. Half of that is Abraham. Amen. I got to get my glasses done throwing them and I can't see without them. Brother John, half of that blood running through Ishmael is Abraham. Amen. Brother Sam, I'm burdened that for 20 years we had a window that was open where we could have took the gospel there just like we did in Vietnam, just like we did in Korea, just like we did to the Southeast Pacific, hey, just like we did to Africa. All those soldiers went to these campaigns and they saw the lack of the gospel and they got a burden and they went and turned continents and countries upside down just like we did in Japan. Hey, we did all of that, but tonight... Hey, Afghanistan still sits in darkness because we are too busy living the American dream. And you know what? If we get out from under the spirit of fear of those people, we'll begin to love those people. He gave us a spirit of passion. He gave us a spirit of love and a power. Passion and power. Look here. Look up here at me. Power of God ain't just for preachers. Quit living like it is. Power of God ain't just for church planners and evangelists and pastors. Quit living like it is. Look up here, neighbor. If you're saved and you're here on a Wednesday night, I hope to goodness you're saved. Most of you are saved. Some of you need to get born again tonight. Because the reason you're fearful is because you're heading for everything I just preached about. And you need to get saved tonight. And you've heard enough gospel preaching to get saved 100 times over if you needed to. We don't need to. But you've heard the gospel. You need to get saved tonight. But look up here. If you're saved, your life isn't so you can make a bunch of money and so we can live high on the hog and so we can have the American dream. If we're saved tonight, we're to be conduit for the glory of God. We're to be conduit for the power of God. Now unto Him, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able. He's able right now. Now He is able. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But that's not the end of the verse. According to the power that now worketh in us. Jesus said, if you drink of the living water in John 8, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what your job is? It's not to have a nice house. It's not to have a nice car. It's not to have all the dainties and the nice things. It's not even primarily to live in freedom. Our main objective is to be conduit, is to be a funnel, is to be a pipe, is to be a channel for the power of God to come through our lives. And what is the power of God? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Any anything, listen to me, to believe it or not, anything outside of living your life for the power of God to flow through you and to sinners to seek Christ in your life, I don't care if you're a mechanic, a doctor, a nurse, or a preacher, anything other than living a life that is a channel for the gospel of Christ to come through and the power of God to come through is missing the mark tonight. It's missing the mark. Amen. If you're a doctor, you need the power of God tonight. Amen. If you're a mama, you need the power of God tonight. You know why Timothy turned out to be a great man of God? It tells us in this text. Because of his grandmother and because of his mama. They lived the Spirit-filled life. They had the power of God flowing through their life. And it affected their grandson and their son to do something mighty for God. But you can't have the power of God flowing through your life if you're controlled by something else. Whether it's fear or whether it's the American dream, whether it's lust, pride, envy, whatever. They can't go together. I got to move along. He's given us a spirit of power and a passion and a perception. Ain't that something? A sound mind. Brother Sam, everything that the spirit of fear does, it does in the mind. That's our battleground. Is that right? Anybody else deal with your mind? Do you know every chapter of the book of Philippians deals with the mind? Every chapter. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Being like-minded. Have this mind. All of these minds. The battle's right here, folks. And as long as you're allowing that spirit of fear to dominate your life, you will not have a sound mind. God's given you a sound mind. Amen. Maniac of Gadara was like a rabid dog before he got saved. And Brother David, after he got saved, they didn't give him a discipleship program. They didn't tell him to go put clothes on. Ain't it amazing that a devil-possessed man, without anybody preaching to him, knows to put clothes on, but Baptists have no idea how to put clothes on anymore. That's a sign of devil possession to be naked. John G. Patton, before there was internet, before there was TV, back in the, was it the 1800s, John G. Patton in the New Hebrides, down there with those cannibals, he said the first thing they knew when somebody would get saved, they would find clothes to put on in the jungle. He never had to tell a cannibal to quit eating somebody, and he never had to tell a cannibal to put clothes on. He said that's how Miss Stephanie, that's in his book, in his memoirs, that's how he said he knew somebody had gotten saved, is the next time he saw them they had clothes on. Because they had a sound mind. People that don't have sound minds don't know how to act. Is everybody all right? There is an option. There's an option to have power, to have passion, and to have perception once again. The last thing, and I think everybody is losing their mind. Every day when I get on Facebook, I'm like, what about where you used to stand? What about what you used to be? And somebody has given a place to the devil, and they no longer have a sound mind. That's why they really are losing their mind to another spirit. They really are. This is talking about believers. Amen. Who would have ever thought we would see believers trying to use the Bible to condone drinking alcohol? Or can try to use the Bible to condone going to the beach and not wearing any clothes. Or going to Walmart and not wearing any clothes. Who would ever... This is a holy Bible. Brother Tyler, 544 times the Bible says holy. This is a holy Bible. We got a holy God. And we got a Holy Spirit living within us. Please don't tell me He did all of that holy work in our lives so we could live like the world.
Come on, good preaching.
Amen.
That's good preaching.
Amen. Everybody's losing their beloved mind. Amen. They really have lost their minds to another spirit. Amen. I got to move on. Brother Tyler, leave me alone. I'm going to keep preaching on this. So we got the outline of fear, we got the origin, we got the oppression, we got the option. But lastly tonight, we got the opposition to fear. What are we going to do to fight back? Brother John, how do I keep, and I've talked about the Word of God, I've talked about Bible messages. That is a great option. But there is a scriptural principle in the rest of this chapter that helps us to combat the spirit of fear creeping into our lives and taking over. Y'all want to know what it is? Does anybody else want to know what it is? Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore. So, if there, you see the word therefore, you need to see what it's there for. But Sam, we don't have to be fearful because of what he just told us. Okay? Be not thou therefore ashamed of my testimony because of, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be ashamed of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the, what's that word? Gospel. According to the what? Oh my goodness. How do we combat the spirit of fear? We take all of those things, the passion, the power, and the perception, and we put it to work getting the gospel out. There it is. Paul doesn't even really get into the next verse, good Brother Kevin, before he says, hey, if you want to, don't be ashamed, don't be fearful, be a partaker of the gospel, and let the power of God work in and out of you. How, you say, preacher, put that in layman's terms. Get the gospel out. If you want fear to go away, get the gospel out. Can I confess to y'all? Here we go. I'm confessing. Y'all ready? Going to Cracker Barrel with Samuel Freed. You don't see him for like 15 minutes. I know most of the time I just order for him. Y'all want to know why? Because he goes to every single table, even during COVID, and gets up in everybody's business and gives everybody a gospel tract. Every table gets a tract before he sits down. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? That's 1 Samuel, not 2 Samuel. I don't know if you do that or not. I've never been to Cracker Barrel with you. But 1 Samuel, not 2 Samuel. Can I be honest with y'all? My flesh don't want to do that. Can I even use this word? My flesh is fearful of doing that. But Miss Sierra, I want to eventually one day, and I have done it. I don't always like it. Sometimes you do stuff because you need to do it, even if you don't like it. And the truth is, you're not going to see those people ever again anyways. And be honest, my kids are so cute. I don't have to normally go table to table, let people come to us and talk to us. Amen. But I can't tell you how fearful my flesh gets over that. But I honestly believe the more you go with the gospel, the less fearful your flesh is to what we think about. You get less ashamed the more you do it. Here it is, it's power. How do we combat this spirit of fear? How do we oppose it? Get the gospel out in power. I'm going to just read some verses. Y'all okay with me? For who has saved us and called us unto a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What's the purpose of Christ Jesus? To save the world. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the what? How about that? Whereunto I am appointed a preacher of what? And an apostle of what? And a teacher of the Gentiles of what? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Why do you suffer, Paul? Because of the gospel. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of what? For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that, no matter if political power or enemies or powerful enemies or pious enemies come up against us, He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. No matter what happens, I'm kept by the what? The gospel. Hold fast. The form of what? Read it. Sound words. So not only is the gospel going to help us to use the power of God, but the gospel is going to help us use the perception of God that He's given us, which thou hast heard of me in faith and what? Love, which is in Christ Jesus. Brother John, everything that Paul said that God's given us to use and God's given us to combat the spirit of fear, Paul just said He utilizes every bit of it in the gospel. If you want a fear-free life, if you want out of the anxiety, if you want out of the turmoil in your mind, and I'm not being ugly, but let us quit living for ourselves and quit living for me and quit living for I and quit living for the nasty now and now. And let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Living for the gospel. You know, God convicted me. We went on our first trip to Papua New Guinea 2017. Well, David, it's like walking in the book of Acts. You've seen the videos. Y'all have seen the videos around. Y'all have seen what God's doing. It's literally like people walking up begging you for tracks. We've literally taken 10,000 tracks and not been able to and run out in just a few days. We have to pace ourselves with tracks when we get there, Brother Eric. And when I'm there, Brother David, I'm living in it. I eat it, I breathe it, I sleep it. I can't quit thinking about the gospel. It's all I preach there. It's all I can think about. I mean, I'm like a gospel ninja. Amen? But it seems like, and I went the second time. Man, it's the same way. But I started noticing after the second time, the closer I got back to America, the less I was that gospel ninja that I enjoyed being so much. You know why? The people got less receptive. By the time you got to Japan, people was done getting stuck up again, especially Australia. Australians are very stuck up. Sorry if you're watching from Australia. Get saved, you won't be stuck up. White Americans are stuck up. Can I just be honest with y'all? This is not a racist comment, but we're in a black area where we've been door tagging, and I love it. You know why? Because white people are so stuck up and prideful. And they think they got everything they need and they're missing the very thing they really need. Amen. And that is the gospel. But shame on me. It dawned on me the third trip. I'm like, man, why don't I act like this at home? I started noticing the closer I got back to America, the less I lived like that. And God convicted my heart, Brother John, that I can live as the gospel ninja in America just like I do. Papua New Guinea. Remember Miss Chloe in our court, and I'm almost done. As a matter of fact, Miss Savannah, where you at? Is she in here? Can I get a piano play? Can you come to the piano? I remember when Miss Chloe and I were courting, back when she carried a purse instead of a diaper bag. Don't y'all smile. She's smiling. He's frowning. It's coming! Brother John, I remember I would be paying at a convenience store or wherever we were at, and I'd be trying to get my wallet back in my pocket and get a track out, and I'd look over and she'd have a track stuck out. I was like, man, this is right. I mean, when we first got married, I had to convince her it wasn't a good idea to jump out of cars at the red light and knock on people's window and give them a track at the red light. Amen. It's not a good idea. Don't do that. You get shot like that or pepper sprayed at the least. But I want to live that kind of life. Whether I'm in Papua New Guinea, whether I'm in St. Vincent, whether I'm out, I want to, whether it's work week, I want my life to be the gospel. And when I am, when it is, I don't live in that fear. I don't. I live in power and love and sound mind. Let's all stand. Miss Savannah's going to play. If we don't, I don't want any singing. I just want folks to come and do business as you see fit. No doubt somebody's living in fear here tonight. No doubt people here, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks still already coming. No doubt we live for ourselves way too much. Why don't you come ask God to help you tonight? Get the gospel out. Be the gospel. Live the gospel. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Whether it's Sunday or whether it's a bad day on Wednesday or a really bad day on Monday, living in a state of power and perception and passion, get in the gospel out. Would you come? These have come. Would you come? Do business with God.